Einstein today.
And here we are once again as we usher out 2009 and bring in a new year. And what a way to go. Thank goodness. Not going out with some dead souls in Detroit. Instead, miraculously, on Christmas Day, the detonator did not go off. But there were a lot of questions. How can they not have spotted the red flags? I do not understand this. When we dissect this terror plot and you have this search for answers about the suspect and then we talk about, geez, now we got to comb through the list. I mean, here's the first thing. I don't understand. You go through 9/11, as horrible as it was for everybody in this country, let alone anybody living in New York City, and let alone especially the most important, the people related to those that were killed. So you have this commission, this ridiculous farcical of a commission, and they did make some recommendations, and those recommendations are not in place still. Of course they're not. $40 billion spent, and we still cannot match passengers' names to the watch list, but yet people with children and strollers and broken legs, and older who are struggling to get through the screening system are pulled aside. It's ridiculous. Who's training the TSA? Oh, that's right. Their memo was released accidentally across the internet a month ago. So now more people are getting patted down. Carry-ons are being double-checked. And canines are out apparently all over the place. I mean, the good thing is, especially with international flights, you have more plainclothes air marshals that are mixing in with the passengers. Okay, so that's good because these are specially trained people who roam around airports looking for some of the tells of the passengers. Oops, wouldn't that be profiling? Oh, I guess we're not allowed to say that. So, or they're not allowed to say that. I certainly can. So the Department of Homeland Security is struggling. Even though they've spent $40 billion on rebuilding since the attacks in 2001, how close this 23-year-old Nigerian came to killing people on that flight from Amsterdam. The security net, my friends, is very, very, very weak. So why are these delays? Why are some of the biggest recommendations that came out of the 9/11 commission, why are they not plugged in? We look at what happened in the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, ultimately. The misses, the things that led to the attacks. You know what led to the attacks? Bogus identification, but the visas, the student visas. Did we not learn from that? The one-way tickets, the paying in cash. No questions. The no passport. So these changes aren't in place that would make it harder for terrorists to sneak bombs into airplanes, whether it's in the cargo holds or whether it's any other way. And we went from one administration now to this next one, and they talk about the progress and say things are happening and additional steps are being taken, but they're only being taken when something happens. And in this case, Abdullah Muttalib almost got his wish to become a hero, a martyr, the virgins and all that that nonsense entails. He came just one click of a dead detonator of killing, who knows, maybe 300 people. How should the feds tighten safety rules for air travel? That is what everybody's talking about. We'll use the advanced technology. Do something other than what is not working, other than reacting. And I know that this is dicey for some people because they do not like the idea, too big brotherish, of the puffers, etc. I mean, the problem is you've got, what, 45,000 screening officers that have been hired by the feds. You've got 1,600 machines that are kind of like as was described in one article I read the other day, kind of like a MRI in a doctor's office. They're installed in these airports to check luggage. Another 900 that screen or scan or whatever carry-on bags at checkpoints that have been upgraded to find supposedly weapons or explosives. Well, then how can this not happen that you cannot could not find out that this guy was coming in? Certainly there should have been more than the airport, the screening systems and all that. It goes back to the visas, because obviously he had been red flagged. He wasn't allowed in England. So wait, he's not allowed on England. He's on one of our watch lists. Ooh, it happens to be the big one with 500,000 people on it. And still nobody questions this. Give me a break. So of course everybody is reacting, including I happen to catch this on the tube today. Matt Littman, he is a former campaign advisor to Barack Obama. He threw in his two cents.
I actually am surprised myself. I did agree with some of what Ann said, which shocks me. But I think in this case, it's just a question of more competence rather than profiling. I mean, this guy was on a list of a few hundred thousand people as a potential terrorist. So he is somebody who should have been stopped at the airport, fully searched, and not allowed to fly into the United States. We don't need anybody on that list to fly into the United States. So I don't think it's necessarily an issue of profiling. I think it's an issue of competence. And right now, look, Ann is right. For 7 years, we've had to take off our shoes at the airport. Can't go to the bathroom for the last hour of a flight. You know, we keep getting lucky with some of these terrorists that they're incompetent, that the guy chose not to blow up the plane from the bathroom, but went to his seat. I have no idea why, maybe to make a bigger deal out of it. But we're lucky in that they're incompetent. We're not always going to be lucky.
And he's right. We're not always going to be lucky. And it is about more incompetence, I think, than anything else. It's the same thing. How do you not come over those lists? How do you not match that up? How does he even get onto that plane to go to the United States? I mean, this is the problem. The shoe thing is ridiculous. Now we move from the shoe thing and the liquids to it's up to the actual captain to decide whether you can use your laptop on the last leg of the journey or take anything from the overhead, or if you have to go to the bathroom, you can't get up. On one plane, for example, on Continental Flight 1788 from Cancun, Mexico to Newark, here's how it was described. Three airport security agents frisked everyone at the gate, everyone, including babies. Somebody screamed out loud because they were so upset they weren't hauled off. On the plane, the crew, once everybody was in the plane, announced that the bathrooms would be shut down the last hour of the flight and passengers would not be able to eat, drink, or use electronic devices. Yeah. So the warning that the bathrooms, by the way, would be shut down led to lines of 10 people deep at all the laboratories, which means they're standing in the aisle. No one was allowed to read anything. And, of course, what happened is you have one flight attendant screaming at people that they have to put their books away, and everybody laughs hysterically. And in the in-cabin screens, which they show the plane's location, the flight path, they had those off. So they said that was a security measure. And so it's just whatever. We'll just make this up as we go along. And the real things that we need to do, like comb through the watch list, like pay attention to what's happening, we'll just leave that to chance. Once again, not to continue to just focus on this, but how can you not? You can throw in your two cents at 800-259-791, but we're going to mix in some other things that have been going on as well. Stay with us.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock. Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolite, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolite and OxySilver Hydrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Everybody, America, tonight, wishing you and yours the very best as we swing into another year. And speaking of swinging into another year, to give you some of the odds and ends, how about what they do in New York? You gotta love this. They line up in Times Square. They did this on Monday. They put their bad memories through the shredder. No kidding. It's called the annual Good Riddance Day. And they shred all kinds of things, like there was somebody who shredded a newspaper story about the Giants' loss to the Panthers. There were some other people that got kind of creative. Somebody put on a piece of paper, writer's block, and this is somebody that wanted to write a musical, so she shredded that. There was also somebody who wanted to shred an old computer and a tin of fattening office snacks. There were all kinds of things. Bills, remains of bills, and somebody else who shredded pictures of an old boyfriend. But you get the idea here. It's Good Riddance Day, and you were able to go and shred things. And I think it's symbolic, if nothing else. What would you shred, you know, from 2009? Hopefully the year wasn't all that awful for many of you listening to me. However, we know unemployment incredibly high. up to 10, 15. I think it's really closer to 15% in most places. Taxes out the yazoo. Concerns over what our government is doing with health care and a gazillion other things. And, of course, at the tail end of this now, the security issue, which has always been there on the surface, and we've talked about it constantly, the terrorism issue full front and center with this missed attempt, because that's what it was, a missed attempt in Detroit. And Yemen is now one of the new hot grounds, not that it always wasn't, but now a lot of eyes certainly are there. Okay, a couple of other things besides the struggle to ensure safety, as there are all these kind of gaps at these airports and, you know, what's going to happen next and whatnot. There are a couple of other things that are going on, some of them silly and you could probably care less about, and others that are a little bit interesting, worth mentioning, though, including the fact that we've got this in sort of celebrity news, I guess. We have the Palin thing bubbling up again, and good for her. Bristol Palin is seeking full custody of her baby with Levi Johnson. And here's what I say, because he's all over the place, and, hey, he can do what he wants. He can be on pistachio commercials and the cover of Playgirl and whatever he wants to do. But for her part, I will say this, she has been, for all the sensationalism surrounding the family and then, you know, Sarah Palin and surrounding her, you know, ex-boyfriend, I guess is the best way to put it. Good for her that she's fighting for full custody. And apparently she wanted to keep the whole proceedings closed, but that was denied. So now they're, you know, there's this onslaught. They're worried about an onslaught of media. And this baby is, can you believe it? This baby is 1 year old. Tripp is the name of the baby. So there, Levi Johnson is pushing for the open court, saying he just wants the simple case on merits. I don't think so. I think he wants the cameras there because he's saying he doesn't feel protected against Sarah Palin, Bristol Palin's mother, in a closed proceeding. So here's what I predict. You're going to have every possible, even though it's Alaska, and I think it's funny that the scumarazzi is going to have to crawl over Alaska, but I guarantee they're going to be there. The TMZs, the Access Hollywoods, the whatever. They're going to be up there crawling around trying to get out any kind of information that they could possibly find in this case when there are a zillion other things that are going on. But what I think is intriguing is just that he wants it open. He's inviting that. And she is saying just the opposite. On to more serious stuff, and still related to the court, however, not the court deciding on the custody of a child, but the Supreme Court is in its holiday intermission period, but they're going to churn and burn on January 11th. They've got a lot of oral arguments coming up, and, you know, they've only had four decisions so far, but they've got 50. I was reading this today. I knew it was in this ballpark, but I guess I didn't think 50. But 50 scheduled cases that have to be heard or decided, and, of course, a slew of other cases that have to be thrown in as well. And some of the questions are interesting and questions that we've talked about a lot on America Tonight, like the First Amendment. When, here's a good one, does the government violate First Amendment? The First Amendment, when it bans corporations from spending their own money on political campaigns. Here's the one we care about a lot that we've talked about. Do cities and states violate the Second Amendment when they ban gun possession? What's going to come out of that one? Huge. Mark in New York calls us all the time, and he talks about that. Can Congress forbid videos that purportedly depict animal cruelty, like the one that shows pit bulls attacking a domestic pig? Does the National Football League's controlled licensing of hats and whatever other apparel, shirts, etc., violate antitrust laws? Ooh, that could be big for people who are trying to sell a bunch of loot and make some money on it related to the NFL. And then there are some other things, too, some specific cases that will be addressed by the by the Supreme Court, some big ones, you know, like this one. And then this goes again to the gun thing. This is the most anticipated one coming up, and it's going to happen. I've marked it down already. March 2nd, the justices consider the case that is called McDonald versus the City of Chicago. That case challenges Chicago's handgun ban as a violation of the Second Amendment's right to bear arms. So the city's ban is identical to what happened at the District of Columbia. That handgun ban that the Supreme Court struck down in 2008, that vote was so tight. 5-4. Now they have to decide for the first time whether the Second Amendment applies to cities and states as well as federal jurisdictions. So this is, boy, this is a pretty, certainly a pretty big one here, and one, like I said, that couldn't be more anticipated. You're going to have people on both sides of this. You're going to have protesters on both sides of this. I mean, you're really going to hear a lot coming up in the next few months, and certainly we're going to have lots of people on the show to talk about it. All right, for something completely different, but it falls under the category of odds and ends. In other words, what are cooler buzz, things that are being talked about. Tiger Woods, have you noticed? Not a lot of conversation lately about Tiger Woods. When I say lately, I'm saying, I don't know, in the last 5 days. Well, Tiger Woods, they say, has destroyed $12 billion in stock value since his post-Thanksgiving car accident. This is a study that was done from two University of California economic professors. They say, or they estimate anyway, that Gatorade, Nike, and Electronic Arts have suffered the most. Accenture didn't really have anything happen to it. They did dump him. Woods sponsors have engaged in a flurry of activity over the last month. We know that, with the mistresses continuing to grow. Gatorade announced it was discontinuing Tiger Focus. They say it was already in the works. Gillette said they're going to limit his role. Tag Heuer said that, you know, that's basically overseas. They're standing with Tiger Woods, but they were going to downscale his role in the advertising, but they have prominently displayed him on the website and said that they stand with him because I think of the European slant there. Isn't that interesting? So ultimately, in trying to decide where they come up with this number, apparently they just went through all of the factors relating to Woods and who makes money off of Woods and how much was lost as a result of that. And that probably seems about right. It's a crazy number when you think about it. What could you do with $12 billion? Ooh, I could think of a few things. All right, one more game left in the NFL, and I want to tell everybody, remember, coming up on our next show, we have another Nail the Score in our third hour, so I hope many of you will be around for that, because we still have, you know, the whole New Year's thing. So Tuesday, next show, we've got Nail the Score, third hour. Hang with us.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, this is Tom with HempUSA.org. Most of you have been hearing my ads for the past few months, and it's no secret that the economy is failing and prices are rising in all sectors. If you've been thinking of a nutrient-dense daily food source and a storable food for yourself and family, the time to act is now. At HempUSA.org, we still believe that food will be your greatest asset in these trying times ahead. please call 1-908-691-2608 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Beware, be smart, and be ready. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org. Families need this high-quality natural food source for its low price and long storage shelf life. This incredible food source should be a staple part of your diet every day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Hello, at offthefield.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on offthefield.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today. Wow!
I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
Motivation to step up to the plate and exercise your rights as a citizen of the United States. You don't like what's going on? Then make a call. Call your congressman, call your senator. You don't know who they are? No worries. Send me a note. I'll tell you, americatonight.net. I kind of don't blame you if you don't know, because you probably got lost in the haze of who cares since nothing good is happening. It's been a rough year, politically speaking, for many people state-wise and then on the federal level, some of the ridiculousness that ensued, the bailouts. And in a way, it's ridiculous because, not even in a way, you think of the three dreaded letters, AIG, and then you think of Goldman Sachs and how much money they made, and ultimately how much were the handouts. And then, of course, getting in bed with automotive and owning a chunk of the automotive world. Ooh, how profitable for our government. And still, the Chinese hold some serious debt over our heads. You know, 2009, certainly interesting, if nothing else, for the dance that we've done around the dollar. Thus, you've seen the way gold has soared, especially in the last couple of months. In the meantime, unemployment at 17%. I kept saying one of the top stories of 2009 had to be the economy and things that are folding right and left. Like, and part of this is because they're becoming obsolete. You know, magazines. I was thinking about this when I was in Orlando. You go to an airport and you go to the news shop, whatever it is. Let's say you didn't bring a book with you. You just pick up a paper, but you're perusing the magazines. Boy, that pile of magazines is going to get smaller. So many mags are going out of business. They just cannot afford to print them. And why is that? Because everybody goes to the Internet. The Internet is ultimately the source. What's interesting about the Internet is, of course, there's a lot that you can, and don't the jihadists know that, there's a lot that you can Google and uncover that you sometimes are stunned that you have been able to fall upon. Information that you had no idea was there for the taking. Things that accidentally supposedly got on the Internet, like the TSA criteria for screening passengers. Remember that? That was less than a month ago. And so you wonder why they're not doing such a great job of security at the airports. Even though the situation with the Nigerian 23-year-old who wanted to blow up the plane or blow a hole in the plane or whatever, ultimately he failed because the detonator did not go off, but he originated in Nigeria. His flight went through Amsterdam and then on to Detroit. But the fact that he had a visa to get into the United States when England wanted no parts of him because he had listed a fake school. He lists a fake school as the reason why he's doing it, but yet he gets a visa in the United States. Can somebody explain this to me? The British are smarter. They were able to weed him out, but we couldn't, with all the money that we've thrown at this problem, we haven't been able to weed out the watch list. Yeah, that's a big thing. The whole visa thing is ridiculous, that people get into the country, their visa expires, and who knows? Nobody knows. Expired? I had no clue. So there have been some major political disappointments in this past year. Now, I was talking about shredding, what they were doing in New York City, which I thought was just a brilliant idea, shredding whatever it was that was so awful in 2009. And, you know, you look at California and you go back to the spring, I guess it was in May, when the California courts upheld Prop 8, which was a voter-approved ban on same-sex marriage. Then in November, Maine voted to reverse a ruling that they passed early in the year, which had legalized gay marriage. And what's interesting is you have a president who supposedly approves of unions. Now, he didn't say yes to the marriage thing, but he's in a sticky situation because of, again, the promises made on the campaign trail, and certainly that was one of them. And then you think of a state like California. Okay, then you think of the health care bill, obviously, that has been grappled with since, really, I'm going to say, the end of July. That's when it came to light and didn't get shoved under the rug because it wasn't an automatic pass thing. So there isn't a public option, and there isn't a single-payer care or Medicare expansion, or supposedly the single-payer care or the Medicare expansion is supposed to replace that. But I have my doubts ultimately in the final vote. But that would have to be politically one of the things that for so many would be either disappointing. I think all the way around, as we've talked about healthcare reform ad nauseum, it's disappointing to almost anyone. Because it doesn't matter how left of liberal you are, or whatever you want to label yourself, or how conservative you are, you're not liking that. There's nowhere to go with it. It's kind of like Guantanamo and the whole idea that, oh, we're perceived as torturing and the waterboarding and all that other sort of stuff. And so supposedly, yes, Guantanamo is going to close. It'll be closed by January 22nd. But, of course, you can't do that. One, the prisons aren't ready in the United States. And two, turns out when you want to move 200 prisoners, you have to have some money, some backing from Congress. And people are balking at the are certainly balking at that. And then there is, if you go to americatonight.net, we put the blunder of the day. We do that every couple of days or so. One of them has to be the emails that were released, part of what was dubbed ClimateGate. You can't dispute the emails. They're it might be, you know, what's being said is, well, that's an obscure scientist's email. But the email was pretty telling, saying, you know, geez, what do we do about these figures of the carbon emissions? This isn't going to look good in Copenhagen. This is going to look good for the UN. So we gotta spice this baby up. Yeah, that was a problem, obviously. So if I wanted to politically say, if I wanted to look at the hot air coming out of Washington, and I mean, then sadly, I hate to say that. I wish it weren't so. But if I were to rate what I think 2009 was, as far as things that didn't get accomplished that should have, things that were tweaked completely in the wrong direction, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, I'd have to go 1 on that scale. Because there weren't a lot of things that that I think, honestly, there were to stand up and cheer about, unfortunately. And there are excuses. It's easy to say, oh, well, there's just, you know, the wheels turn slowly and there's 10 trillion bills and amendments. And, you know, what the problem is, there's special interests. The whole thing about earmarks, they're still very much alive. My favorite thing that I think I've seen in the last, I don't know, week or so, is the fact that somebody in a paper that still is alive for now in Nevada put out a headline in the paper that said, "Where's ours?" Because everybody got so many kickbacks to compromise on the health care reform and the Senate version of it. So I think it was a pretty fair question, pretty funny for them to say that in Nevada. Everybody else gets a piece of it, so where's our piece of it? You know, Senator Reid, what are we getting? What do we get in Nevada that we need? Do we get a piece of a new stadium, a piece of a research center, or something else? I don't think they can give them a new stadium, but what is it that we can call ours, for that vote? And I say touche to it, because exactly, that's what health reform was all about, it turns out. It wasn't so much about, oh, gosh, there's people that can't afford healthcare. We need to do something about this. It was, I got my hand out. Give me whatever you can give me. I'm going to hold you hostage. And once you give me what I need, then you're going to get my vote. So I'd have to say, all in all, very, very disappointing year. Not a lot of things that I thought should happen. And ultimately, every time there was a step forward, there was a step 10 times back. Lots of proclamations and then a lot of take backs. And, you know, it's interesting, too. We talk about the economic system. And Time Magazine, Ben Bernanke, named as the man of the year. And now the Fed saying they want banks to open up a CD sort of type account at the central bank. I mean, it just becomes more of a joke every single day. I just cannot believe, first of all, that any magazine anointed this guy as the man of the year. Did he really save us financially? And the answer to that is no. And this latest twist, by the way, is that under this proposal, the Fed would offer term deposits that would pay interest. So it would give banks another incentive to park their money at the Fed rather than have it go back into the economy, not necessarily a surprise, I guess, as the Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and other Fed officials keep saying that this so-called term deposits would be the equivalent of CDs for banks and would be one of the tools they could use to drain money from the economy when the time is right. That just doesn't sound right, does it? We need to drain money from the economy. I mean, they just basically drained us all, right? Stay with us. Stretch Drive next.
For For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your Garden in a Can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit GardenInACan.com. That's GardenInACan.com.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from four levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy eight flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
And I'd give up forever to touch you, 'cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. 'Cause all I can taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. So when sooner or later it's over, I just don't wanna miss you tonight.
You know, they found a pyrotechnic device on a flight from Baltimore, Maryland to New York City, and apparently that guy's being questioned as to what gives and what was that going to be used for, etc. Still no word on that. Looks like there could be a charge in it. In the meantime, questions abound on what happened with that flight from Nigeria to Amsterdam to ultimately Detroit that almost blew up. Two of four leaders allegedly behind that plot that Al-Qaeda is claiming is theirs to blow up that Northwest flight. Two of them were released from Gitmo in 2007. Now all these ties to Yemen. And this radical cleric, one who also was advising, supposedly, Major Hassan, who killed all those, sadly, those people, those folks who were serving at Fort Hood in that massacre, that awful massacre. And what is the common denominator, this cleric? So nothing but questions, ultimately, and let's hope that they nail him. In the meantime, it's interesting to hear Steve Emerson. I happened to catch him on the tube. He's with investigativeproject.org, and he had some thoughts on, some thoughts that I agree with, on what's going on as far as security measures are concerned and this constant reaction to whatever the terror plot happens to be. What are the things that need to happen? Here's what he said.
These are crevices the size of giant Grand Canyons. Catastrophic failure in terms of the failure of U.S. counterterrorism policy. The father warned the U.S. Embassy in Nigeria that his son was involved in radical Islamic activities. We didn't take that into account when we renewed his multiple entry visa. The Brits, however, revoked his visa. What did they know that we didn't know? Number two, when he got to the airport, he purchased his ticket with cash. He didn't have any checked baggage. Why didn't that trigger something? Number three, this guy was on a terrorist watch list, but apparently that watch list doesn't mean anything. So we're talking about an entire failure of a system from A to Z. And it's not going to be fixed by simply reapportioning a watch list or having a presidential statement saying we're going to track them down. It's going to be found because we have a policy that goes after radical Islamic terrorists, and it has to be articulated as such by a president who so far has been unwilling to utter the term. Well, they claim responsibility. The question is, we still have to determine when the ticket was actually purchased, because if it was purchased before that raid on the 22nd in Yemen by Yemeni forces against an al-Qaeda training camp, then this claim of responsibility is really sort of superfluous. But let's take them at their word. Let's say they were responsible, because Yemen is now a center of gravity for al-Qaeda. There's no doubt about that. What do we do about it? Are we going to go in and bomb these camps? Are we going to go in and track them down? Are we going to go in and start being serious about radical Islamic terrorists around the world and even in this country? Look, my sources tell me that even in the past several months, the Justice Department has refused to issue certain charges against radical Islamic extremists on terrorist charges for fear of being accused of profiling. That's ridiculous. I mean, that terrorists would be able to get away with murder like this. So I think we've got to change our policies regarding Islamic terrorism first and foremost. Then we can change the other policies.
All right. You know, he has a great website. It's called investigativeproject.org. And actually what he does, and he's been on lots of different shows, and we'll try to get him for a different point of view here on America Tonight, but it's a nonprofit research group that he founded back in 95, and his group is recognized as having the most comprehensive information or data center on radical, and you hear what I said, radical Islamic terror groups. And they've done it for more than a decade. They look at funding activities, you know, that follow the money thing and extremist groups in the U.S. And they don't get any funding from outside of the United States. And Emerson is definitely a recognized expert on terrorism, just like we have Jeff Atticott on, and he is the same, where he advises the National Security Council and the FBI and speaks to Congress on intelligence issues and intelligence agencies. So certainly he is in very, very high demand, but he offers some good insight, I think, into what's happened. And he describes it as crevices, and it certainly is crevices, sadly, that have almost allowed to what happened was the underwear bomb, basically, the Christmas terror that could have been, when you think of that, how easy that could have been detected on a body. But he did not go through the system and didn't have a passport and still managed to get into the country. I think this is a huge wake-up call or warning, no doubt, for all of us that, hey, get on it. You don't like something that's happening, or you agree with something that's happening, get on the phone and start to hammer the people who you elected in your state, or, you know, maybe you voted for the other person, but who represents your state, because that is your voice in Washington, both in certainly Congress and the Senate. So don't hesitate to do that. If more people did that, if more people voted, it'd be, I think, a little bit different, the face of what we see in Washington. I truly believe it. And I think we're going to see some interesting things unfold in the next elections come next year, when we're talking about the House and all the possible replacement players. Yeah, there might be some people that are going to be shocked as to what happened. How did things slip away for them? Because ultimately, when you think that what I said before, politically, how disappointing it's been, the fact that what are the significant things that have come out of Washington this year, some significant discussions that went ultimately nowhere, but what significant piece of legislation or happening has led to something that's been tremendous in the country overall, nationally? Riddle me that. Send me your answer, americatonight.net. I think this is funny. If you have a GPS system in your car, you know, where you have the British lady, she says, go right in 1 mile and whatever. Or you can have any voice you want, but you know what I'm saying. Well, there was a Nevada couple that let their SUV's navigation system guide them through the desert of eastern Oregon. That sounds bad already, doesn't it? They got stuck in snow for 3 days when the GPS that they were using sent them down a remote forest road. So on Sunday, atmospheric conditions apparently changed enough for their GPS cell phone to get a weak signal and relay the coordinates to a dispatcher in Klamath County. It was Klamath Falls, Oregon. Beautiful area, but can be really tricky if you don't know it. So the GPS almost really could have ended their lives. It gives them options and picks the shortest route, I guess, but you do get the shortest route, but maybe not the safest route, and that's what happened there. They pulled their four-wheel drive Toyota Sequoia, is what they were driving, out of the snow with what many of you know as a winch. They had to do that, and they got them, obviously got back on the road and went safely home to Reno, Nevada. But they did have food, water, warm clothes, and all that stuff. They didn't. I don't know if they would have survived. It was a couple in their late 60s. But that GPS navigation system led them astray. It's crazy when you think of, people have to know, I think, that sometimes the GPS, if you just are looking out your window and you know something's not right, like it's like that one person who went off of the side of the road, that someone just went careening off of the cliff. How do you keep driving your car over a cliff? I makes no sense to me. If you have the answer to that, please email me that as well at americatonight.net.